sympathize with the homeless when I see him on the evening news. Somewhere there must be a place where they can park their weary shoes. Maybe a camp in the country or a building on the edge of town. But that shelter there across the street is only gonna get me down. Everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. See, I don't want to have to lock my door to be inside, safe and sound. This neighborhood will go to pot with the likes of them around. It's no fun out there in the cold. Yes, I know just how they feel. But I just can't bear to see a hungry face when I'm eating a nice warm meal. Oh, everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and the Lord a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. I've got a friend who owns a store about a half a block away. Every year she donates goods and money to United Way. But she thinks it's bad for business to have the homeless walking by. She says, why not send them south for the winter so they can stay warm and dry? Oh, everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. Well, now please understand our position. It's not the way it looks. We want them housed, but out of sight. There are zoning laws on the books. Long as we can clear our conscience and preserve our civic pride, we'll give our consent, even pay the rent on a place where they can hide. 'Cause everybody should have a home. Everybody must be fed. Everyone has a right to a roof and below it a nice warm bed. We applaud your noble efforts at guarding their collective health. And we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else. Yes, we'll gladly give you funds and food, long as you can put them somewhere else.
That was Mark Levy, The Homeless Shuffle, from his album Take Off Your Clothes, an album from the mid-80s published by Nuclear Records up in Felton, California. If you're interested in getting a copy of that 1986 album, either on disc, I think he even still has it on vinyl or CD, give him a call, 338-7283. It's a really funny album. And you're going to be hearing some more songs from that album throughout the show. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, and the show is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobes, Pier, Robert Norse. And, of course, we have our usual hour and a half of stimulating talk about homeless rights issues. We are, in fact, on loop tape still. We haven't been live for some time because the radio station is still looking for a home. It's a homeless radio station. And what we've got is lots of interesting interviews with folks on the street. We're in the midst, of course, of the last week of the city council race. This is October 30th, the day before Halloween. Unfortunately, it looks like we're going to get badly trick-or-treated by the next election. I unfortunately predict the return of Rotkin and Matthews, Byers, same group, and possibly Eisenberg, who may or may not be an improvement. It's a little too early to tell. It looks like the big money's going to win, and the conventional incumbent candidates will win, too. But that doesn't mean that we don't stop trying to assert basic rights for everybody. That's at least what I'm concerned with. And you're going to be hearing lots of cases of people who are doing just that. The rains have come, and you'll be hearing a drip in the background. That's tape has been recorded from my leaky room here up on Vance 40 Avenue, where I'm kind of manning the buckets and at the same time doing the show. So stay with us. We wish we had a live line so you could call in, or just a live guest or two, but we'll make do. And I think you'll hear some interesting conversations and learn some new things you didn't know before, and perhaps be stimulated into action. That's really what this is all about, into supporting people who are harassed by the police, into demanding that city council and other bureaucrats start responding to real problems and really earning their salaries, so that you see through the rhetoric of those who are telling you that everything is okay, or everything is unsolvable, or everything is the fault of poor and homeless people, or street people, or the evil panhandlers. Anyway.
Fourth. And it's about 3:35. We're in front of the free radio table with
Corey.
Well, you're leaning against one of our new green garbage cans here. And what's the rule for it? What happened here?
Well, yesterday I went to my squat and I put my bags away. And I was going to come back and go get them. And this morning I went there and it was gone. And I heard that the police took my stuff because the neighbors called in, said they saw somebody going in there. And sure enough, I heard the lady, she's like, "You better hurry up and get out because the cops are coming." And they stole my stuff and I can't get it back.
And what does that mean? What exactly was your stuff?
I have a blanket, I have clothes, I have a thermal that keeps me warm. I have personal items such as my letters, my only form of ID, which is a letter that somebody wrote to me. I have pictures of my family, and that's it, and my social security card.
How long were you at that spot for?
I've been there for about a week.
Are we talking about a place downtown, or?
No, it's on Laurel.
Okay, what are you going to do now? You're out of your squat. Was anybody else also given problems and had their property taken, or?
Yeah, a friend of mine, she left her stuff there, her bedroll and her backpack. Her backpack was gone, but her bedroll was still there. They left the bedroll there.
Where were you before this? Are you pretty much doing the outside thing or the inside-outside thing?
Inside-outside. Sometimes I'll stay with him, his girlfriend's house.
How old are you?
14.
And how long have you been outside?
Since I was 11.
And are you Santa Cruz, generally? Where from?
Everywhere. Washington.
Originally from Washington State or D.C.?
Washington State.
So, you've traveled many cities. You've seen a lot. What does Santa Cruz say to you at the moment? What's your sense of it?
I hate Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz sucks badly.
Is this a function of, you know, the shit that happened at the squat, pretty much?
Yeah. People here are kind of nice, but just squat.
How about how police treat you on the streets?
It's a lot nicer here than they do in other cities, because in other cities they make you move place to place to place. Here you can sit down in one place.
Yeah, you feel the police are not as nasty as, let's say, what other cities would you compare it with?
Huh?
So what other cities are worse, let's say?
Seattle. That's a pretty bad city that you can't sit in. You can't even panhandle, really. So much shit in parts of the panhandle.
And what do people in Seattle do?
They go to districts that you're allowed, that they allow you to be at. There's certain districts you're allowed to.
Anything you want to say to the free radio audience, Corey?
Do you have a backpack?
If you have a backpack, give a call to 423-4833, and if I see Corey, I will pass it on to her.
Thank you.
Thank you. Give me an update. We're here with Lisa Ann and Cloud here on the mall in front of Pizza My Heart, half an hour before the demonstration is scheduled to begin. How you doing, guys?
Doing all right. We're fine now. What kind of information that you want to hear?
You got dueling guitars here, right? Anything about troll busting? Any news about troll busting?
No, they killed that guy under the bridge, huh?
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa Ann, what's happening with the kids?
Well, that's not related. I hate to have that come on right after that.
Sorry about that.
Completely unrelated.
Right. Instead of jumping around.
Yeah, really. But anyways, what's happening with my daughter, Star, is that I'm proceeding with the service plan. And I'm doing the service plan that they have suggested at CPS. However, I don't believe that they have any intention of returning my daughter, even if I can successfully finish their service plan.
What is the service plan? What exactly do they want you to do?
Oh, things like going to see counselors, talk to counselors. She doesn't seem to know why I'm there to see her. The counselor says herself, when it's kind of obvious I took good care of my daughter till she was seized. She talks about things like, Lisa, we have to make sure that your views of the government and education don't interfere with your ability to parent your child. And the last session was based, she spent much time talking about how studies show that parents really don't need to be with their real parents, that they just don't know the difference and they'll do just as well with any parent that takes care of them. Spent a lot of time on that, and considering that CPS's objective is to reunite parents and child as soon as possible. Yeah, that's what the counseling is, and of course seeing my daughter for visits.
So, but they're giving you no date for reuniting you with your daughter, who's taken a year ago about now, right?
Pretty close to a year ago. The date is supposed to be toward the end of December. I'm supposed to obtain housing basically on my own, even though there's never ever been any abuse or neglect or any reason to take my child from me. And if I had my child with me, I would qualify for welfare, which would get me housing today for my children. Yeah.
Right. And how are you doing and where are you living? How are you outside, inside, in my lady's chamber?
No, just out in the woods. And I'd like to mention that out in the woods, the tent is warmer than my mom's house ever was. It's not like people think, as far as living out in the woods. This is a better house than most people have. And there's no contact with anybody. It's just me and my husband, We're not street people. We're woods people. Not to put down street people, but there's a difference there. We're all alone. Yeah.
Anything you want to add, either of you, for free radio?
Not at the moment. I'll be into trying to get in contact with other people who've been having troubles with these individual CPS workers, and they might not be aware that they're not really fighting the government. They're fighting a few workers who want to call themselves the government, but really they just have jobs and they're using their jobs.
We see color TV. We're worried about our kids and stuff. Right now we're fighting the government. But we'll see what's happening.
Thank you, Clark. All right. Well, there you have it.
That was Lisa and Claude. Claude talking about their baby that was taken by CPS literally in front of the eyes of the community about a year ago at the Union Grove parking. Music parking lot, and that bunch of us marched to the police station to demand that an attorney be allowed in the police station to represent Lisa Ann, Ed Fry, the attorney, and Kate Wells. Both expressed an interest, and Ed Fry actually came down. The child was taken away. Again, we think, and it seems still to be the case because of her homeless status. and because of arbitrary decisions by CPS. And indeed, there are a number of complaints about the behavior of CPS in a number of different cases. In fact, an organization has formed around that issue for kids' sake. If you're interested in learning more about this organization, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That's my phone number, again, 423-4833. And I'll try to put you in touch with For Kids' Sake, the group that concerns itself with abuses by the Child Protective Services. This interview and a number of the subsequent interviews you're going to be hearing happened on October, looks like 4th, almost a month ago. We're now going to be hearing a report on Father Marini. Marini, as you may remember, was the pastor of a Holy Cross Church that put up people during the summer, initially actually putting them outside until one complaint from a neighbor and actions by the mayor's office and the city planning department resulted in their closing it down. And then again, after that, the organization of Interfaith Satellite Shelter person Ron Howard, who has since disappeared, by the way. Ron Howard has not been seen for a month or more, and a lot of people are worried about his whereabouts. If you know anything about him, do give a call to me at 423-HUFF, and I'll pass that news on. People are really concerned. He may have either met with foul play or had some sort of a life-threatening accident, because he's not been seen, and his residence was left essentially untouched. However, Ron Howard arranged to have with Father Marini to have an indoor program after the outdoor one was squelched, essentially with the connivance of the city and Mayor Rutkin. And there was an internal pavilion program where people could sleep overnight, 30 or 40 of them. And that ended August 31st, and since then, with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which also controls the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, trying to get bucks for its multi-million-dollar, 40-person Kill the Campground Community House project, which will house people at a cost of $600-plus a month, and I suspect will be catering mainly to people with SSI checks, in spite of the most honest intentions of Community House Director Frank Pusilek. People are looking for an emergency shelter, an emergency campground. That's become a really crucial item on the agenda. Charlie Phillips, a video photographer and homeless rights activist, has been trying to get together people as diverse as Sherry Connable of Save Our Shelters, Paul Lee of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, Becky Johnson of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, activists with the Revolutionary Coalition, health activists, to do an occupation of a piece of property on which people will set up tents and will stay given the shelter crisis. That's actually happening now. But a month ago, Father Marini was approached with a plan to establish a safe haven again at his Holy Cross Church. And this is the report on that.
The Marini Report. You met today with Father Marini of Holy Cross Church, Becky Johnson.
Yeah, myself and five other people, right, including Sherry Connable,
right,
the ill-fated Parks Program, and Celia Scott, member of City Council.
Right. Charlie Phillips.
Charlie Phillips, Dan Hopkins, and a woman named Amy, who's a student supporter of ending the sleeping ban.
Right. What happened?
Well, Father Marini explained all of his various sets of problems, which include a reluctant constituency at his church, which include nervous neighbors, and apparently the most important obstacle to him reopening the Holy Cross field to homeless people is that the whole Holy Cross establishment there has submitted a kind of like a general plan where they want to do quite a bit of remodeling, upgrading, putting in a gymnasium, that sort of thing, projected over the next 15 years, this growth, and they want to maintain good relationships with the city council and the planning department especially. And so what
he's... You get the answer to who closed down the Holy Cross in July? In fact, I believe you claimed it was Michael Rotkin, and Rotkin insisted it was not he. What's the truth?
Yes, I did discuss that with him. He said it was through the planning department contacted him and told him he was in violation and needed to shut down. So I guess it technically was not Michael Rotkin. However, it was Michael Rotkin's law that the planning department was enacting. Michael Rotkin was up there the day it was closed down. He certainly could have gone through some procedures to try to find permits or do something to enable it to stay open. He did nothing by that way. So for him, and he was mayor at the time, he's also admitted that he knew about the program much longer than I thought he had. He said, claimed he'd known for as long as 6 months that Father Marini was allowing some, violations of the camping ban law, particularly more cars. Uh-oh, you're reading the letter. Uh-oh. So,
Rocket bites right back.
Yeah, with those rodent teeth of his.
Well, he said certainly has a rat-like bite to him. Let me ask you, would the Father Marini, is he interested in opening the campground?
He's very interested, both personally. He considers it a moral imperative. He wants to, he has to bring it before two councils, his parish council and the financial council. These are two bodies that are relatively recent in Holy Cross management.
And was he talking about opening the athletic field or the indoor pavilion or both?
It would be a 6 p.m. Right. to 7 a.m.
That's good.
Okay.
Those earrings are cute.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I think I bought them and added some more stuff on them.
So, continuing what is actually being discussed?
Father Marini has agreed.
Class war, motherfuckers.
There you go.
That was not the content of Marini's conversation. Father Marini is willing to take some version of the CCH proposal to both those bodies. The first meeting is on the second Saturday of the month, and the second meeting is on the third Saturday of the month.
So that's tomorrow and next week.
That's correct. So, after
it's still okay, they can immediately open up.
Once he gets their okay, then they can start negotiating with city and CCH and all that. He wants assurances that there'll be no problems with
the planning department.
No. He says it has to be a proposal that's completely above board, legal, has full permission of the city, and that's a requirement. And it also has to be run in such a way that there's no negative interaction with the, especially the children that are using the field in the daytime. So that the field has to be scrupulously cleaned between camping by homeless people. And
so we're talking about a daytime field.
You're talking, if you 6 p.m.
Is that property stolen by any chance?
He's gonna jaywalk! It was Robert.
Protesters. Certainly not. We're just discussing a protest. We decide you're right, we're all going to go home.
Oh, really?
If we had it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're homeless.
No,
a homeless protest.
No, homeless. Homeless.
I'm homeless. What's up?
I'm just homeless.
You know, I've lived here 33 years.
Is it a problem?
Yeah, that is a problem. When I'm not allowed to sleep, when I'm not allowed to eat, when I'm not allowed to do things for my health, that is a problem. Yeah, you bet.
So for some, it is a problem. And that's one of the reasons that we're trying to get the candidates to address the issues. We're going to do candidates who
want.
That's something we weren't even going to talk about. It's not really against Pizza Hut. You're starting Pizza Hut.
Why are you talking to Keith? Just because of some comments he made? I didn't read the article. But he was quoting the article yesterday.
Yeah, he's, you know, honestly speaking, his viewpoint diverges from many of ours. He wants to see measures taken against people in Cape Cod and Pacific. Mm-hmm. And that's a point of view that we don't share and we're critical of.
How do you feel about the homeless guy that got killed the other day on the bridge? He was stabbed in the head, the 6.5-inch plate went into his brain. His brain dead when he was found at 8 a.m. on the 1st. He was declared dead at 11 a.m. on the 2nd. We can go home and really feel good now.
Only down by shore buses.
32 years old.
People on the 11.
Is that true?
That's what I hear from three or four different sources, including a security guard at Long's. So I think it's probably true, yeah.
And what we were discussing was, of course, the murder of Martin Estrada, which had happened about 3 days before, on October 1st, under the Soquel Bridge. The killer, as far as we know, still has not been apprehended. Suspects were dragged in and grilled. But, of course, there is no legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz, other than for 38 people who are pretty much who take up the same spots every night, mainly disabled and women, with younger people, at the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, and will be none until the Armory opens, as soon as November 1st, or as late as December 15th, according to Frank Pusilek of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Father Marini apparently did not offer his either athletic field or his indoor pavilion for use as a safe haven for people to sleep at night, an emergency shelter place. I don't know the specific outcome of those meetings he was supposed to have with his parish, but the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's Pusilek talked to me and said that that had not gone anywhere. A proposal by Scott Kennedy, which Pusilek then drew up, to establish a sort of more permanent year-round safe haven campground area in one of five areas of the city, was essentially put on the floor, if not the back burner, or the back burner, if not the floor. Once CCH got its money for the community house, so it got $400,000 a couple weeks ago, and I guess hundreds of thousands or more before that for what has now turned into a nearly $2 million project to include the operating expenses for the first few years. After they got their money with City Council, they had lost interest in the campground. Although, again, it must be said that Frank Pusilek himself is still investigating the possibility of Sycamore Grove and may indeed show up at a meeting that's happening tonight, as this tape is being made on Wednesday evening, October 30th, where people are talking about an occupation of some piece of property, maybe Sycamore Grove, maybe the Benchlands, in order to dramatize and support the right of homeless people to a campground, particularly in the rains that have arrived with some force. If you're a homeless person who has not been able to get shelter, I suggest you give a call to the City Council hotline, 429-3550. It's a line that's open 24 hours a day. There's a recorded message on there. You can leave a message for any council member and tell them you've been looking and have not found shelter and are getting wet. And what the hell are they doing about it? It's not so much that City Council owes you shelter. At least it owes you freedom from police harassment. And they certainly have the keys to that particular lock if they want to unlock that and liberate people from that kind of fear. And now a musical break with another song from Mark Levy's Take Off Your Clothes. So, Take Off Your Clothes.
Now the Israelis have a nudist camp on Taba, right by Egypt on the Gulf of Aqaba. Bathers sunning on the beach were dangerously within reach of Muslim guards patrolling near the spa. And now it says to cover up in the Koran, but those Hebrews hung it out to get a tan. So for fear of getting heated, the Egyptians just retreated, which provoked this novel thought for a peace plan. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. No need to hurl a rock across the fence if your enemy is being real attentive. Strip to the buff, stick out your duff and strut your stuff. The sight of muff will be enough to halt the tough. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get more room if you disrobe. Relations will improve around the globe. Now the colonel of the Egyptian police platoon made this comment as he peered beyond the dune. All these sabras on the Sinai really look a sight to mine eye, though I think we'd better take some action soon. As he turned, he saw the men of his fine crew, field glasses trained on each attractive Jew. So he went and gave the order to redefine the border 100 yards down farther from the view. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. You can unveil a devastating offensive. It's healthier than war and less expensive. Strip to the buff, stick out your duff and strut your stuff. The sight of muff will be enough to halt the tough. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get more room if you disrobe. Relations will improve around the globe. Now here's the surest way to end a running feud. Simply approach your adversary in the nude. If he or she's a prude, they'll think it's lewd and move away. Who knows, they might be in the mood, you win either way. So if you're fighting and you just can't take it, you just might try your luck at standing naked. Before they have another riot, Northern Ireland should try it. The whole world could ease its tensions if we'd only undertake it. I propose this brand new cure for hot disputes. Have the warring parties meet in birthday suits. Imagine how a summit conference might progress. Formalities abandoned as each delegate undressed. No harm in getting back to bare essentials. World leaders must admit it has potential. For uncovered, one can make appeals to what the other side reveals and see they're not so different after all. Take off your clothes to those you oppose. Be well exposed to your foes and strike a pose. No need to hurl a rock across the fence if your enemy is being real attentive. Strip to the buff, stick out your duff and strut your stuff. The sight of muff will be enough to halt the tough. Forget about an armored probe, you'll get results if you disrobe. Relations can improve around the globe. Oh yes indeed, relations will improve over the globe.
Well, now we're at
5:50 here in front of the Goularte Apartments, Officer Black is just writing a ticket. What's the ticket for, Officer Black?
Sorry, I can't legally answer that question, but you can take a look around and make a guess.
Okay, you opened that beer can right there, and now you're giving him a ticket for an open container that you opened, right?
It's true, that's it right here.
You saw him open it also?
Yeah. I thought he was doing something like that.
You can't have alcohol on the mall, whether it's open or not open. That is the law, unfortunately.
And you can't carry a closed can of alcohol to your car? I don't
know.
Really?
It within the confinements and drink for some reason. I don't know, but it's just the law. You know?
You're getting the ticket?
I'm not. I get one every day. Oh, I get him. Yeah, he gets them. He knows.
He's our So is this true? This cop opened the can of alcohol?
I can't really say for sure if he opened it or not. I just saw him pull it out of the guy's shirt.
I heard it open and saw him open it and then set it down. Now he's photographing them.
I see. Well, this may be part of the ID program. This is Officer Black, of course, who's taking photos. Did he open the can of beer?
I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know, but
you can take it
there for now.
You
want to
take it?
I'll take it down here.
Did he open up the can?
Yeah.
Just pulled it out, or?
I didn't see it, but
ready?
listening to what's going on here and so on.
Right.
So, how you doing?
Can I come out here? You can start for me, but let's let this gentleman have his seat back on that side of the stick.
All right.
Happened to Joe Buehler. So you got a DUI in April, you say. Here we are, hippie corner, I should say Friendship Corner, Cafe Pacific at 5 to 7. And Feed the People is feeding, but also you were telling me that DUI ticket in April resulted now in you being frequently harassed by the Highway Patrol?
Yeah, it seems that to me that they've been trying to pull me over for fixie tickets, using it as probable cause to see if they can find some other form of arrest. And the other night, I just passed Janice, the DUI program, and the alternatives for drinking and driving were to take taxi, walk, have a friend drive you, ride a bike, or whatever you have to do, but to stay out of the vehicle. And I got on the bike and only went, drove like a block, went to a stop sign, which gave them a reason to stop me. And then when they found that I had a prior DUI, they arrested me on the spot for a DUI, not no infraction, and I'm out on an OR now for a court appearance. And I kind of feel like I'm getting harassed or something like that.
Did you get a blood test? Or?
I asked them for one, they wouldn't give it to me. They said they gave me some kind of thing, you know. They gave me a breathalyzer out on the street after I passed the field sobriety test, and then they said I had 1.5, which I couldn't possibly be. All I had was a half a quart of a friend.
Do you know the names of these Highway Patrol officers?
I don't know the particular name of this arrest. I have it written down on paper, but the papers.
Start keeping records.
Yeah, I do that.
Before the regular organized and scheduled portion of the City Hall Sleepers vigil ended, the City Hall Sleepers protest that was in front of the Santa Cruz City Hall for the last 7.5 months, and it ended about October 14th or 15th after 229 days and nights consecutively there, and has continued somewhat sporadically since then as people show up and put up a sign, even an illegal sign, which as you know, is writing a sign and then leaning it against a rail. That's illegal, and people have been arrested for that, and indeed some people face up to 6 months in jail for doing that. We'll see if that actually goes to trial. It's currently going to court, and we'll see if it goes to trial. However, the City Hall Sleepers protest, in the closing days of its formal phase, had a lot of support from a couple, Gideon and Tama, who also featured on the front page of Street Spirit, an Oakland homeless newspaper which you can occasionally find being sold around Santa Cruz for a dollar. Often you find it being sold by Jim the Poet in front of the Century Plaza, now is it called the Cinema 9, down there downtown on Pacific Avenue. And indeed, in Oakland, a lot of homeless people make their living, or make at least enough to get a cup of coffee and get in out of the rain, by selling the Street Spirit. A homeless newspaper that really concerns itself with activism and direct protest and exposing abuses rather than, like, let's say, presenting a, quote, positive image of the homeless. That's what there have been. Some papers in different cities take different approaches. But Street Spirit and the Street Sheet up in San Francisco take the point of view that they want to expose abuses, and that's what they do. And homeless people sell these papers for a dollar each on the corners of San Francisco and Oakland, and now apparently down here in Santa Cruz. Anyway, Gideon and Tama at the City Hall Sleepers protest, Tama is pregnant and due to have her child in late December, still looking for a midwife and still looking for a place to have the birth. Who knows, maybe it'll be a Christmas Eve birth in front of City Hall. Wouldn't that be something of a shock? They have given us regular reports about different subjects that concern people involved with civil rights for the homeless. And here we have Tama talking about an encounter with the police, and then Gideon talking about an encounter with trailbusters. Again, this is from October 3rd, about a month ago.
And we got with us Tama and Gideon. Tama, you had an interesting experience in the police department.
Yes, I did.
What, a couple days ago?
Actually, it was yesterday, and me and Kitten went to go get property.
Actually, to clarify, we are at October 3rd, 1996, Thursday, and it's about 1/10.
What happened was, the property manager or the man who does the property, his name's Mark or Merle, and he came out and he asked what property I had. I said it was a bicycle, and there were some other things. And what he said was that the stuff had been taken by the bums, and.
Did he clarify? I mean, did it have been claimed by other people?
He kind of referred with a pointing, the suggestion of his eyes towards the city hall.
Or the people in front
of
the city hall?
The people over there in the front, yeah.
And what did you say about that?
I didn't see anything. I was just kind of like staring and going, I can't believe this guy is saying this. Kitten said a lot of things too, so I kind of...
What did she say?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Did you talk to Kitten about a conference in San Francisco that she went to?
I did not.
Okay, good. Anything else happening at the vigil that you think deserves note or on the streets? We heard there was, of course, tales of a man killed recently. There was a man who died in the hospital after a beating with a Spanish name. Isn't today's Sentinel. And then I heard there was a second story of a man shot. What have you heard recently? Troll busting.
Oh, troll busting. Actually, we want to talk to Gideon about that.
Oh, really? Gideon, what have you got to say?
I don't know. Why did you say that? I've heard the same things. That's about as much as I've heard about the incident.
Somebody's covering up. Could these two be the mystery troll busters? Tune in next week. We tune in again for the conclusion.
I'm not a troll, and they didn't bust me.
So what? You tell us your story, Thomas, since Gideon is a little reluctant.
Is it okay if I tell?
Sure. Were you there, though?
I wasn't there, but I will recite what you exactly said. Okay, I'm there.
Agony in their eyes as I played with them.
Well, tell me, what happened, Gideon?
I was down by the river a week ago or something like that, about a couple of weeks ago, and I hear the sounds of people crunching through the bushes, and I look.
Day or night?
It was the evening. It was right around sunset, and I look and see three individuals carrying sticks. One of them had a baseball bat.
Wow.
They were
probably going to practice somewhere.
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, they were just going out to the field to, you know, shoot a couple...
Beat off, perhaps?
Baseballs across the
beat field. On certain people.
And,
Did you suspect these people were interested in hitting human beings?
That's what I suspected. I sort of toyed with them a bit. I hid a little bit longer, waited until they got closer. And I decided that my intuition was correct in assuming they were out for some blood. The only blood that was shed was a little bit of my own. Later during the chase, I ran into some bushes and a twig snapped me in the face.
Uh-oh.
I incurred at that point a rather non-noteworthy bloody nose.
Oh, dear. Now, what did these youths do? Did they start running after you? Did you taunt them? What happened?
The chase that was to follow lasted...
How did it begin?
...an hour. Well, I jumped out of the bushes from my...
Where was this at? Where was this at? Like,
this was at the river still. This was before I had left.
Up on the levee?
Well, close to it. I wasn't on the levee.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the area over by the Galleria where the theaters are over there. It was pretty much across the street and down.
So you jumped up?
I jumped out of the bushes and
said what?
Pardon the expletive, but I scared the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they panicked for a few seconds, and I basically waited for them until they were ready to start chasing me. So
it was sort of a good time was had by all.
Yeah, well, they were very upset, and
what did they
their
say?
Egos were bruised, I think. But
did you taunt them verbally?
Well, not so much verbally as just you know, I kept a good chase going for about an hour, if not more, making sure that I didn't exactly, you know, get away from them because I was enjoying it. I saw it as kind of a challenge. And, you know,
waste your time running around with these clowns for an hour, and what were they shouting, if anything?
They weren't shouting much. They were talking more to each other. Right after I jumped out and scared them, you know, they were yelling at me. That's kind of understandable.
What do you think that they were doing out there, though, that?
They were going through, looking for anyone who might have been crashed out or you know, unconscious or whatever. And
it might have been nice if you chased them into a police officer, because who knows, the person who died last night or the night before last in the hospital might have been one of their subsequent victims.
I do have a description of the vehicle that they were in.
What is that description?
I do not have the license plate number, unfortunately. License plate on either the front or the back. I think it's the front. It was removed.
What kind of vehicle? What color?
It's a grayish, silver, two-tone, newer pickup.
What kind of pickup?
Ford.
You mean the pickup truck? Ford pickup truck?
Ford pickup truck. One of those medium-sized pickups.
And you saw them in the truck, or they was parked nearby? Or?
Yeah, I saw them.
How old were these three people?
Mid-20s, late-20s.
Were they short hair, bud, or?
Yeah, all. They all had the same haircut. They all had baseball caps.
Baggy pants. Mm-hmm.
Were they Hispanic or white?
They were white.
Did you report this to the police?
No.
Would you like to report it to the police?
Considering what's happened recently, I am willing to go do that.
You want to go in now and do it?
I think of walking to the police station, you can file a report.
I could, also, I don't know. I'd rather hold off a little bit, like write something out.
Okay.
Something a little bit more concise.
Right, we can get on with the tape recorder and we can tape record your statement too. But